Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Indocount Industries Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. K.R. Lalpuria, Executive Director and CEO of Indocount Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to all of you to Indocount Industries Q4 and FY22 earnings call. I hope you and your family are keeping safe and healthy. I have with me Mr. Muralidharan, our CFO and Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Happy to connect with you all once again to discuss the Q4 and FY22 performance. I am pleased to inform that the board of directors has selected PricewaterhouseCoopers Chartered Accountants LLP as the company's statutory auditors in place of the retiring auditors. Let me start with the industry and business scenario in Q4 and FY22. We ended FY22 on a good note as we constantly improved our performance despite a wide array of external challenges. Given the conditions, we focused on building our brands and executing efficiently, resulting in constant double-digit revenue growth over the past 2 years and a significant market share and penetration gains throughout our portfolio. We have clearly strengthened our product portfolio and customer connect. Despite ongoing cost pressures on a global level, we have chosen to increase our investment in brand building rather than sacrificing the long-term health of our brand equities to manage short-term challenges. Now let me talk about the market scenario. The logistics challenges have amplified due to the COVID situation in China and the Russia-Ukraine war. Not only the cost has gone up substantially, the transit time to the market has increased by almost 2 weeks-3 weeks. The retail ecosystem's mismatched supply and excessive inflation have hampered sales in the key regions. Due to this pressure, we expect the sales to be challenging in the current year as people are cautiously buying discretionary products. Cotton prices have skyrocketed because of the drop in domestic output and current geopolitical crisis. Further, the consumption of meals has increased, leading to good demand in international markets post the Xinjiang cotton ban. The government's decision to remove import duty on cotton till September is a positive step. Additionally, free trade agreements with Australia and UAE will further open up opportunities for Indian textiles. Similar discussions with U.K., Canada, and EU are progressing very well. More importantly, in the discussions with U.K., textile is part of early harvest discussion and therefore quick resolutions for Indian textiles can be expected. Now on the company's performance. We have recorded 17% revenue growth in FY22 despite the above challenges and have achieved the volume guidance of 75 million liters. We have also achieved the margin and revenue guidance overall. This is despite the logistical and inflationary pressures faced throughout the year. We have been able to meet the margin guidance for FY22 as we have followed a disciplined hedge policy for raw material. Additionally, we strategically moved towards value-added product, which is at a better margin, and overall value propositions to our customers and business. Other contributors to our growth in FY 2022 include branded business, e-commerce, and our domestic business. A combination of this allowed us to weather the storm. At Indocount, we are market-ready with strong capabilities wherein we can capitalize and sweat our assets further. We are strongly moving towards B2C and D2C segments through high-quality product offerings across varied price points, building visibility through digital campaigns and leveraging omni-channel and e-commerce distribution. Our contribution from branded business has increased from 10% in FY 2021 to 14% in FY 2022. Fashion, utility, and institutional contribution has increased from 15% in FY 2021 to 19% in FY 2022. E-commerce business contribution increased from 4% in FY 2021 to 7% in FY 2022. The Indian home textile business contribution increased from 1% in FY 2021 to 2% in FY 2022. We continue to remain laser-focused on increasing our share in the e-commerce and branded business, both locally and globally. Now, update on our GHCL home textile business acquisition. I am happy to share that we have completed the acquisition of GHCL home textile business, and with this acquisition, Indocount becomes the largest home textile bed linen company globally, with an annual capacity of approximately 153 million meters. We are confident that this foray will successfully meet our long-term aspiration and create value for our global customers and all stakeholders. We see synergies with respect to supply chain, procurement, and enlarged customer base in developed countries with respect to this acquisition. With this acquisition, we have added new brands to our existing portfolio, and we believe with innovation and technological capabilities of the acquired brand, patents, and trademarks will further strengthen our brand portfolio and offerings. We are leveraging joint capabilities of design, innovation, and products to improve the go-to-market strategy and look forward to adding an untapped customer base that will help us gain more global market share. Now, let me update you on the brownfield CapEx. We had announced modernization of spinning capacity with compact spinning technology. This project is completed. The increase in home textile capacity from 90 million meters to 108 million meters. This capacity will be operational by Q3 FY 2023, as we have to add balancing utilities equipment. The CapEx for commensurate cut and sew facilities and top of the bed capacity is under good progress, and we expect the facilities to be operational in H2 FY 2023. We have also announced new CapEx to enhance our spinning capacity at our subsidiary, Pranav Aditya Spinning Mills Limited. The proposed CapEx will be toward additional spinning capacity of 68,000 spindles. We plan to spin value-added specialized yarn products. We would incur a total CapEx of rupees 270 crores, which will be funded through a mix of internal accruals of about 95 crores and a debt of rupees 175 crores. The project will be completed by Q4 FY 2023. Now, information on the ESG initiative. Talking about sustainability, our team's commitment and efforts helped us release our first ESG report, which is a big milestone in the direction of a sustainable world. We are constantly working to contribute to the global sustainable development goals, through initiatives in energy efficiency, waste management, water management, and maintaining the highest standard of governance and conduct in this endeavor. IndoCount is now a member of the United Nations Global Compact, and the company is committed to integrating UNGC's principle into the organizational culture and ensuring building a greener, sustainable future. During the quarter, IndoCount has received two awards. The Best of Bharat Awards 2022, our brand Boutique Living has been chosen by the Editorial Board of Exchange for Media and Impact Connect as a winner of E4M Pride of India, the Best of Bharat Awards 2022. This award was given to the brands that have demonstrated leadership, strategic accomplishments, creativity and constant innovation in their product processes and marketing practices. Export award by the state of Maharashtra, we received a gold trophy from the government of Maharashtra towards our exports. Now let me share with you our consolidated financial performance. I am happy to announce that the FY22 performance is the best in the history of the company. Total income, ₹690 crores in Q4 FY22 versus ₹705 crores in Q4 FY21. Total income, ₹2982 crores in FY22 versus ₹2557 crores in FY21, a growth of 17% on a YOY basis. EBITDA margin, this increased 411 bps on YOY basis. Accordingly, margin came at 19.1% in Q4 FY22 versus 15% in Q4 FY21. EBITDA grew by 25% on YOY basis. Accordingly, EBITDA came in at ₹132 crores in Q4 FY22 versus ₹106 crores in Q4 FY21. For FY22, EBITDA margin of ₹574 crores versus ₹415 crores in FY21, a growth of 39% on a YOY basis. EBITDA margin stood at 19.3% in FY22 versus 16.2% in FY21, an increase of 305 bps on a YOY basis. PAT, we witnessed a growth of 48% on YOY basis and therefore achieved ₹85 crores PAT in Q4 FY22 versus ₹58 crores in Q4 FY21. For FY22, we recorded highest ever profit at ₹359 crores versus ₹249 crores in FY21, a growth of 45% on a YOY basis. PAT margin stood at 12.4% in Q4 FY22 versus 8.2% in Q4 FY21. However, PAT margin in FY22 annually stood at 12% versus 9.7% in FY21, an increase of 228 bps on a YOY basis. Net debt as on 31st March 2022 stood at ₹906 crores. This debt increased during the year as we had made a conscious decision to invest into supply chain to ensure the security of supplies to our valued customers. For FY22, our ROE stood at 22.6% while our ROCE at 21.4%. The board of directors have recommended final dividend of ₹2 per equity share of the face value of ₹2 each, that is at 100% dividend, subject to the approval of shareholders at ensuing annual general meeting. Now, considering the near-term challenges owing mainly with the end customer and the logistic issues, there are many moving pieces, and therefore we believe it will be more prudent to guide on sales volume in subsequent earnings call. Similarly, on margins, there are headwinds around raw material, energy, and logistic costs, which refrains us from giving a guidance. Needless to say, it will be our endeavor to continue our work on healthy profitability on back of hedged raw material and currency and our continuous efforts to improve the overall product mix and our customer base. Now, that's all from my side. I now leave the floor open for the question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Edelweiss Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello. So first of all, a big congrats on a decent set of numbers.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Sir, my first question is, one of your competitors had mentioned that demand shift from home textiles to apparel since the economy has now opened up, and there's a visible decrease in this work-from-home scenario, which was earlier the case. So in this scenario, how confident would we be with this increased capacity of 153 million meters, and where we would land up in terms of capacity utilization for FY23 and thereby in FY24?
See, the demand has differed only in home textile. It hasn't shifted. So there is no structural shift as far as demand is concerned that we are observing. It will continue only. It's a matter of time that once the inventory gets released and the geopolitical situation improves, and in India, once you see that the raw material prices stabilize as the new season starts, I think the home textile will certainly have a good demand going forward. And over and above, you see, we as a company are also working upon very bullishly about the home textile front, where India is positioned as a country very strongly. And that is clearly visible from the past data, how China is losing market share. So definitely, India is strategically well-placed. We as a company are strategically well-placed. And we hope that once this situation will improve in the key regions, definitely it will help in, us to grow our business over there and sweat our assets. And we have worked on long-term and medium-term both strategies to see and how we can grow our business through various marketing strategies.
Sir, just one related question to this. Like in your presentation, the home textiles market share, especially for the cotton sheets, has declined from 57% in previous year to 50% now on a YTD basis. So if we look at the breakup here, Pakistan and also China has gained market share, whereas India's market share has actually declined. So I guess even they would be facing the same supply chain issues as us. So like any reason you know of the share being shifted to those geographies?
See, first of all, you see India is positioned into the mid to high market segment and they are positioned into the lower segment. And whenever there is inflation, whenever there is a blockage, we being in need-based product, the mass merchant does well, you know, over the departmental store and specialty stores at retail. So definitely you see, since they were serving this product categories in that market, their share is maintained in absolute number. Our absolute numbers have gone down, therefore their percentage seems to be higher.
Okay, sir, got this. Thank you so much. And my next question is, EBITDA margins for this full year FY22 is at 19.3%. So would this be the peak margins for us, and would we be able to maintain these going forward, or like we perceive it sliding down to the range of 17-18% which you used to achieve earlier? So your inputs on this?
As I mentioned, you know, we'll refrain from providing you any margin guidance so far because there are so many moving pieces, you know. But yes, of course, we are quite bullish because we have acquired this home textile business of GHCL, and we are looking at medium term to long term strategy. We are not looking for this year alone. So in 3-4 years, we will set our assets and see to it that even we achieve newer milestones, you know, in businesses, because all our strategies are towards value addition, like B2C, D2C, e-commerce, domestic brand. So there are a lot of opportunities, and once India signs this FTA with UK, EU and Canada, and now it has already signed with Australia and UAE, which will be put in place in the next 3-4 months, I think India will have a very good market share getting developed in these countries where we have been eluding our market shares because of the level playing field. So I think the opportunities are huge. India is well positioned, as I mentioned. We have our strategies in place, and that is performing well from us, which is apparent from our both the years financial numbers. You know, in FY21, we grew by 26%, and this year we grew by 17%. So if we have proper growth, definitely we will be achieving newer milestones in both value and margins.
That's great, sir. Thank you for the elaborate answer. One last question from my side, and it's a bookkeeping question. The spinning division revenue and EBITDA for FY22, if you can provide.
We'll provide you offline.
Okay. And sir, with this expansion, this spinning facility, like what would be the potential revenues from this division?
So it will be for captive consumption. And again, I was going to add, because we have a very, like even the currently what we are spinning, we are utilizing most of it in-house, you know. So there is very negligible volume in that spinning business left over. And in this new spinning mill also, we'll be utilizing 100% in our for captive consumption.
Okay, that's it. Thank you for answering all the questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Madrecha from Augmenta Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just can you elaborate on, like, what is the current demand scenario in US, and also, like one of your competitors mentioned that despite the ban of Xinjiang cotton, there are supplies of Xinjiang cotton into the USA, and demand from China, demand for China products is again back. So can you just highlight upon this thing?
See, first of all, you see, we need to understand that this is a momentary mute, you know, as far as demand from the large US market is concerned. The reason being because we all know that there is a mismatch in demand and supply, that the goods reaching out there takes almost 8 weeks now, and the retailers is unable to plan their buying or sourcing properly, and so the inventory levels have gone up, and that's the reason they are not reordering very quickly. And secondly, because of the inflation in this area due to the geopolitical situation and the price rise on the raw material side as well. So once this gets released, I think the markets, we being in need-based products, will normalize, and the demand would start, you know, accelerating. And we have a holiday seasons to in coming fourth season, you know. So we are all expecting that the holiday seasons to be good. And the retail as such in April in the US has increased by almost 4%. So as per the demand is we feel that should get back. Now about the China situation, as I explained earlier, you know, China plus one strategy is clearly visible. And now with this Xinjiang cotton ban, it will only amplify, because they will not be able to utilize their cotton towards exporting to the developed nations like US and UK and EU. Many of the retailers are projecting that they will not use cotton coming out from this area. And one of the reasons for the cotton raw material prices to go up this season is also because a lot of demand is coming from China towards both raw cotton and cotton yarn. So I think things should stabilize, and we clearly see that the buyers and the retailers are de-risking their business to a second source, which is happening. Only this is a momentary, you know, phase where we need to overcome all these different challenges which have accumulated at one time. So once they get released, I think we are back to, you know, normal.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Babade, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I'm audible.
You're audible, but not very clear, sir. I would request you to come under handset mode and come closer to the phone, please.
Well, I'm on handset itself. Okay. Sir, I hope the new acquisition has been consolidated by now.
Yes. The acquisition is completed by now on 2nd of April 2022.
Okay. On 2nd of April. So in the balance sheet which has been released, it would not be included, right?
It will not be included.
Okay. I had that discrepancy because in the balance sheet at 31st March 2022, it shows 342 crores of non-current assets as against 7 crore on March 31st, 2021. So I was just thinking whether this was the goodwill of any sort or what content.
I'll explain. Some advances have to be given for acquisition. So we had given some advances to GSL. That is reflecting there.
So right then,
this is a part consideration, and the entire deal got concluded on 2nd April.
Right. So the PPE which is shown as 598 crores, how much do you expect it to jump up to with the new acquisition?
It will go up on gross basis by about 300 plus crores.
And on net basis? I just want a rough number.
On what? Net basis?
Net basis.
On net basis, maybe around 300, roughly around 300 will be there. About 20 crores is the depreciation. Okay.
So this 600 odd would become 900 odd, right?
Right.
Okay. And second question, sir, just wanted to understand in this scenario of high rising cotton prices, how do we defend our margins going forward?
So we feel because currently the season would start say in September, and because of the overseas demand, because of lesser cotton crop, because of the higher consumption of the meals, all these factors have, and the mismatch of demand and supply overall, and the government also has imposed 10% import duty. So all these factors has fueled in, you know, the prices, and they have skyrocketed to almost more than 110% increase as compared to last year. So, but going forward, I think the government has realized that the prices are high, so they are coming out with some relief on the duty side, then also treating maybe cotton as an essential product or on an actual user, so their actual user basis. So there are discussions going on where the government also feels that we should get the raw material at a reasonable price. And so what we believe that once the season starts, we'll be able to see that how the crop is there, how the rainfalls are there, and how the total crop numbers come up as compared to last year, because this year also earlier they projected 360 lakh bale, Then they changed it over to 320 lakh bales, which created a panic. And that's why the prices skyrocketed. And the bales were not having proper stock. So everybody was demanding cotton and it was not available. So the prices went up. I think with the new seasons and the government stepping in and providing some relief, we should see that the cotton prices should stabilize to some extent in the next season, and that will help us to tide over this problem on the raw material side and maintain our margin. And
Do you expect pressure on margin in coming quarter, at least for one quarter?
Couple of quarters, they are painful, but yes, we have hedged our raw material for two quarters and we are watching the situation very closely. But there are so many other factors playing out, like the energy cost and the logistic cost, which are still, and the transit time taken to deliver the material to the buyer's doors. So those are the other challenges which we are facing. So we feel that, you know, couple of quarters there are pains due to all these reasons which are, you know, accumulated in both these quarters, and they should get released.
Okay. But then it is in domestic market that the cotton prices are high. In international market, the cotton prices are relatively better than that of ours, lower than that of ours. So how do we compete at international level with
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Mubade, but your voice is breaking. We could not hear your question clearly.
So I mean to ask you, this we are having high cotton prices in India. So that is what our competitors will also be. We will be at par with them as far as pricing is concerned. But the international cotton prices are relatively lower, and there is ample supply too. Given that China is not, would not be importing outside their country. So what from outside their country? So how do we, how do we defend that against our international peers?
So first of all, the international prices are not low. They are at same levels now. In fact, some of the otherwise everybody would have imported between once the government has removed the duty on importing cotton till September, and now it has extended till 31st December. Everybody would have called for cotton imports, but nobody did because the prices are at similar levels to India.
Okay, sir. That's
It's a global phenomena, you know. Cotton is a global commodity. So we need to take that into consideration. And some of the countries which are cultivating cotton do not have an established spinning segment and the industry to supply. And as I had mentioned on my earlier con call, both Vietnam and Bangladesh are labor arbitrage. They don't have raw material. Pakistan has got limited supply. China is more focused on man-made as well as the lower segment of the market. So India does have a very good cotton base. Only thing, because of the mismatch of demand and supply, this situation got created. Once we have the new season, because every time we have seen that whenever the prices go up, the sowing is better and the crop is better because the farmers get good realization. So he goes in for this crop rather than the other cash crop. So that's the reason there is a hope that, you know, the prices should stabilize once the season starts. And we are also watching that situation to happen.
Okay. So last question regarding GHCL. So in this quarter, in this year, what was the top line and margins for GHCL? GHCL textile division, I mean.
So whatever from whatever results they have published, the top line was around 828 crores and the EBITDA was around 12.1%. About 102 crores is the reported EBITDA.
Okay.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Bhagwati to rejoin the queue for follow-up question as there are several others waiting for their turn as well. Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and decent set of numbers in these difficult times. So on GHCL financials itself, I think Muralidharan has told 828 crores of sales and a bit of 102. What are the PAT numbers, sir?
83 crores if we, around 83 crores.
And by any chance you would have F21 numbers, because I think 22 numbers for them also were quite, high compared to 21.
We'll provide you offline, Abhinav, okay. We'll provide you those numbers once we get hold of it.
Okay. Second thing is, in terms of when we consolidate GSL this year, fixed asset, you are saying around 330 odd crore will get added, right?
350 crores. 350 gross. Yeah, gross.
Okay. And what could be their, on this, what could be the working capital or net working capital?
Around 240 crores is the net working capital.
Okay, so around 600 odd crore this. So the corresponding debt that we will be taking for this?
These are financed out of our internal accruals only entirely. The deal is entirely funded through internal accruals.
So as of today, whatever was our situation on debt side on March 31st is same post the deal, you are saying?
Yeah, correct.
So every the 600 odd crore oddly is totally equity funded.
Yeah, from internal accruals. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. And just one wanted to understand from Lalpuria sir that we earlier used to talk that the investments mainly will happen on the value-added product side, not much on spinning. But this new capex that you have talked about, any thought why this is this has been? I thought more the investments would happen on, tops of bed or etc. But this new capex of subsidy that you are talking about, can you throw some more light?
Yeah. So, Abhineet, we acquired 192 looms with our GHCL acquisition of home textile business. And earlier this was supported by GHCL own spinning unit at Madurai. So now in order to have captive consumption for this 192 looms, which is our always strategy to support whichever asset we have, we need to support it through captive consumption. That's the reason we are going in for value addition. And we'll be spinning, in time to come, high value added yarns. And this will also be from our customer side a compliance wherein, we can assure them of total traceability and, accountability of the total supply chain. So that's the need of the hour also going forward. Whatever assets which we have should be having internal supply chain. So that's the reason we have gone for this investment. Secondly, the spinning segment, as you all must have seen that in the last 2 years, are performing quite well with a decent EBITDA return.
Yes.
So now, that's the reason we have gone in. And lastly, you see, we are also sweating out the assets of our subsidiary at the end of the day. And we are planning to merge it with our parent company. So that also is the last, submission from my side.
Okay. And just on this FTA that we, India signed with Australia and UAE. And I mean, how do you think the demand for us, obviously, because this, what was the, earlier, infringements or anything of that sort that we are not able to sell in Australia and UAE, and what advantages that it have, if you can explain on that.
So certainly, you see, an FTA always helps you to export in that country, because then you are at a level playing field. Because some of these countries had bilateral trade among themselves, and where we were at loss at not being at level playing field. Now, the consumption of per capita consumption in Australia is quite high for home textiles particularly. And UAE is a re-export port, you know, where it exports to almost 80 countries. And in GCC also the focus was not there because there was an import duty of 5%, whereas some other countries were not having, you know, to pay duty. So I think with the opening up this and the intent of both the nations to have a bilateral trade among themselves with a 0% duty, that itself helps in motivating all of us to see and have an insight into the market and see that how we can develop it. Plus UAE is logistic wise also is closely located. So all these factors will help India in the future to, you know, grow their market share in this large market out there. So definitely it will help us, you know, to gain some more market share from others.
Thank you, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Komal Maheshwari from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. One question on the balance sheet side. Want more clarity on the borrowing that we took. I mean, it is on, under the current liabilities. So which was 553 crore that increased to 1216. So almost 650 crores that incremental borrowing that we took. So can you mention on that for what purpose that we have we took this?
So the borrowings have been, the short-term borrowings have been for working capital only.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, we increased the our inventories also increased. You know, as earlier we have been mentioning, strategically we have been increasing our inventory and, you know, investments have been to support that.
Okay, so inventory that that increased, I mean, it was also increased by maybe 300 crores, right?
Yes, yes.
So current liability actually increased by incremental jump that is 600 crores. But in the inventory that we see that 320 crores of jump, 340 crores. So another amount that where we signed?
No, so some of this is in the cash actually. So, you know, if you see the cash position is also improved. So, what has happened is that at the towards end of the year, we had some collections which we didn't go to reduce the borrowings. So, these are, you know, if you see the cash position, has it has gone up from 33 to 387. So, you know, post that, it has gone to reduce the debt to a certain extent, yes.
Okay, so cash and cash equivalent, that what I see here is 386 crores. That we are going to invest, I mean, that we are going to spend for the working capital requirement, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that is, see, what has happened at the end of the year, some collections have come, you know, from exports. Those could not be immediately, used to reduce the borrowings because of the year-end position. So post that, we have used to reduce the borrowings. And it is going on an ongoing basis. There will be some borrowers and there will be some adjustments. This will keep going like.
Okay. And if like for the FY23, what is your guidance in the volume terms?
So we are refraining, as I mentioned earlier, from providing any volume guidance because you see in today's world, there are so many moving pieces, you know. Basically, the logistic and have amplified, and containers are nowadays reaching US port, taking almost two months. So, you know, quarter-wise guidance has become very difficult for us to provide. But yes, we are quite hopeful that we should be able to provide you some guidance when things improve, say maybe on our subsequent call.
Okay, and we will be able to maintain the EBITDA margin like we posted 19% in FY22. Will it be able or?
The margin guidance also, as I mentioned, we are not providing currently. We are working upon it. And, you know, we as I mentioned earlier in my speech also that, you know, again, there are raw material, energy and logistic costs which refrains us from giving a guidance, you know, overall. But our endeavor is there to work on healthy profitability on back of our hedged raw material as well as a positive currency and our continuous efforts to improve overall product mix. So, mid-term to long-term, we are quite positive and India, as I mentioned, is very well positioned and things should subside, you know, in going forward and we should do well.
Sure, sir. So, it was all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jiten Doshi from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Mr. Lalpuria ji, many congratulations for achieving a very strong result in a very challenging environment last year.
Thank you.
Our simple analysis that you are not able to give a guidance, but assuming if you are even at the same level, I'm sure you will grow, right? Because you're going to add something from the acquisition.
Yes.
So obviously, you can't be 70 million or 80 million meters like you were last year. You'll always be something plus. Assuming even if there's a challenging environment, there will be a good cash flow during the year. Plus, how much of your money is blocked up in the government receivables, that government scripts that you know, you have received as benefits but could not encash?
So, you know, presently we have only about 60 crores as on date. Most of the scripts have have been received post March. So you know,
post March, as on 31st March, what was the amount?
Around 170 crores, 170 or 172 crores. Was
so which you have received about 110.
Yeah.
Right. Now, assuming that, Mr. Lalpuri, assuming that your inventory normalizes, you will release about 200 to 250 crores minimum cash from there?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, given that your government scripts get liquidated, you have an operating profit as well as you, let's say, are able to reduce inventory and curb your working capital, there should be an easy debt reduction of at least 300 to 400 crores that we are seeing. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are quite positive on that.
Okay. So, you are seeing a good debt reduction, a good cash flow and a good debt reduction. So, and the other question is that, you know, when we spoke last year, obviously, you had done the acquisition purely because you were looking at the next 3 to 5 years with great optimism. Given whatever is happening currently, and let's assume that the world stabilizes and brings back, you know, comes back to normalcy, how do you envision the next 3 to 4 years? Is there any change in your long-term outlook on what you plan to do for Indocom?
No, certainly not. We have acquired this asset because we are always looking at long-term as a strategy, you know, 3 to 4 years. And definitely we are quite bullish about the Indian home textile, as I mentioned earlier. And we as a company are also well positioned. Our fashion bedding has increased to 19%. Our branded business has increased to 14%. Our e-commerce exposure, where we are helped with licensed brand, has increased to 7%. Our domestic brand is doing well. So all our value-added businesses wherein we have strategized 3-4 years back are paying off, and that is reflected into our performance and our EBITDA and profit margins. And you can see we have reported a PAT of 12%. So I think going forward, as we had mentioned earlier, that we as a company are aspiring, you know, to utilize these capacities which we have acquired and also which we have currently in the next 3 to 4 years and become, you know, almost like 2x from here on the value side. So definitely we are bullish about the whole situation about going forward, and these challenges are, you know, what we feel are in the business because of, see, the geopolitical situation or the logistics side because of the COVID in China. All that should reduce and diminish going forward. So definitely,
so let's say if you look at 3-4 year outlook, you still maintain that you can be a $1 billion company with that 18-20% EBITDA margin in 3 to 4 years.
Yes, of course. Like, why not? We mentioned that we should be, you know, aspiring to become a $1 billion company always, and because we are a focused company on the bed linen side, where there are so many opportunities, not only in the US, but with all these FTAs coming, with all these advantages of raw material which India has, With our capabilities, as you must have seen, that we have responded to all these disruptions so well. So we are proud of our team, that our team will certainly do well against all odds and see that, you know, take the business to the new level and new milestones.
Sure. Now, in the second half, if there is a correction in cotton, raw material prices and all of that, would you believe that it could be advantageous to us?
Definitely, because that's what we are all hoping for. If the raw material eases out, we are hedged for the next two quarters, and we see that, you know, that's the reason you see on our numbers that our inventory levels have gone high, but those inventory levels are high for all positive reasons. In today's world, not only the cost is important, but having supply chain security, providing that security to the customer is also equally important. So we need to service the business very well. And that's why we have been saying that we are consciously investing into the inventory levels, you know, so that we can service the customer very well.
So what's your cost of debt?
Say around working capital is just less than 4%.
Oh, less than 4%. Okay, fine. So there's no change.
Still, I would add here, Jiten bhai, that see, even if our inventory level and working capital is higher, where we are saying that we have consciously done it, we are providing an ROCE of almost more than 20%. So, you know, taking finance at 4% and making 20% is not a bad job.
Sure, that makes sense. Sure. So probably you are saying that, you know, once things settle down, you'll be able to give us more clarity as the first quarter results are behind us.
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay. We look forward to that guidance from your side sometime in middle of August, so that we have greater visibility to the year ahead. Wishing you all the very best, Mr. Nathalie.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Just two questions. One is, this spinning capacity that you are planning to, add.
Yes.
Hello. Is this part of the, PLI scheme in the textile PLI in any way, or is this sort of not part of that?
No, it's not part of that, because, the PLI scheme is only for technical textiles as well as man-made fiber so far. The government is trying to see how it comes up with a PLI 2 scheme, wherein it can make it more broad-based and include cotton and other areas, also in it. So we are waiting for those things to happen, but currently this is not under PLI.
I'm sorry, you have in the past talked about, entering into newer segments, fashion bedding and so on and so forth. And, our understanding is that, that's more oriented towards, man-made fibers and towards, blended, fibers really. So that's why I was just sort of checking on that. So just to sort of understand this, CAPEX also a little bit better. When you say, could you just explain what do you mean when you say basically, value added, fibers basically, if you can just explain, give maybe a minute commentary on that, that'll be really helpful.
See, basically when we say value addition means better cotton, like say organic, Egyptian, Supima, BCI, all that, number one. Then also spinning, certain special, yarns like linen, hemp, etc. So all this can be added up towards more branded, be capable of doing more branded business, more specialized business, more value-added business, so that, we do not give away our margin to someone else, and we keep that margin in-house towards integration.
Understood, sir. That's useful. My second question was, you sort of mentioned that, fourth quarter you had sort of relatively muted, sales. So one is obviously the demand issue, in the U.S. And the second one you mentioned was on the supply chain side as well. On the supply chain side, just wanted to get a sense what you are seeing now, because at least the sense that we are getting from the market is, you know, the China-US link, you know, is also because of what is happening in, you know, China, that sort of remains, you know, fairly congested. But otherwise, you know, on the other links, you know, the supply chain issues are, you know, coming down, and to that extent, the freight rates are also, you know, sort of coming down. If you can just sort of tell us what's happening on the logistics and supply chain, you know, side right now, that'll be really, you know, helpful.
So you are right. To some extent, you know, we have seen that the freight rates have softened out because the port at Shanghai and Ningbo have started. So there are some containers getting released, as well as, you know, time has improved for the containers to get. And also the cost has come down to certain extent. But you see, it's also the demand and supply on the Indian side as well. So if there is a more free, like a lesser frequency of vessel and more demand of the container, the prices goes up. So vice versa. And you see, on the logistics side also, the time taken is killing, because the retailers are not able to plan their business well. Whatever inventory they have is not relevant to the today's consumer, and the consumers, you know, are looking at more essential because of the inflationary pressure. So it is a like a double whammy out there, and once that gets released to certain extent and the inventory gets reduced in the pipeline, we strongly feel that the business should normalize, and there are reasons to believe, because they have holiday seasons in front of them. Only thing what has been hit is also the promotional business. Like, just imagine, like today Valentine's Day or Mother's Day, and if they want to promote certain product in those days, they are unable to plan sourcing this from India or anywhere else, because they are not sure when it would reach them, and if that day gets over, and if the goods reach after them, there is no use of it. So this is happening particularly on the inventory side and the logistics side as on date.
All right, understood. That's it from my. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on strong set of numbers. Sir, I had a question on GHCL numbers. Could you just help us, how much was the GHCL volume for FY22 and the revenue and profits? Get some idea on their overall profit numbers on an annual basis.
Yeah, so the numbers, like they were at 828, which Mr. Muralidharan has informed earlier, and the volumes are around, say, 19 to 20 million.
Okay, understood. And sir, I just wanted to understand the composition of your inventory with respect to, how much of it will be finished goods and how much would be RM or WIP?
So the overall inventory is what has been given. We can give you offline the split between this figure.
Okay. And third question is on interest. The interest outgo for the quarter has reduced, though our debt numbers on an annual basis have increased. So just wanted to understand the interest cost, why it is so low.
So the subvention, there is a subvention of interest. We get about 2% subsidy on interest. If you see the last quarter, we didn't receive it because the scheme was not renewed. But now government has come up and said that this scheme of subvention is there. So we have got the Q3 and Q4 also in one place.
So how much will be the quantum of the same?
I'll give the number maybe to you specifically, yeah.
Sure, sir. No problem. Thank you. My questions are done. Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. With this, I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisor, our Investor Relations Advisor. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Indocount Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.